Time to take a look at recycling, and we're looking at it from the perspective of recycling events. Maybe you're involved in an event. I tell you, Wisconsin has got to be almost the event capital of the world. There's something going on every weekend in many, many parts of the state, and it often involves sometimes thousands of people and a lot of stuff.
Food and beverage.
Food and beverage is part of it. Paul Abramson, that's the voice you just heard. He is an event recycling consultant from Madison, works with both nonprofit and for-profit companies and organizations in Wisconsin. He's co-founder of Madison Recycling Away From Home Volunteer Community Recycling. So we're going to be talking with him about that. And certainly maybe you've got an event coming up, or maybe you've been at an event, or maybe you've got a piece of advice that you wouldn't mind passing along. How have you done a good job on the recycling side of things at an event? We'd love to hear from you, or when you're away from home, because we go on some trips. Probably we're going to be doing, even though gas is at $4 a gallon right now, I would expect that more people are going to be taking trips away from home a shorter distance. It's still away from home, but tell you what, we ought to think about recycling, shouldn't we?
Well, absolutely. The question that I get asked often outside of my area of research with event recycling is, "Hey, I'm out for a ride just for the afternoon. I'm going a distance of 8 to 10 miles. Maybe I'm on my bicycle. Maybe I'm not in my car. Mm-hmm. And I'm stopping at a local restaurant or a gas station or something to get a soda or get a sandwich or a candy bar. How come there aren't any recycling containers at the gas station?" And then the flip side question is, doesn't somebody enforce that? Well, enforcement is like the last alternative, because we as individuals in the public have a huge amount of influence over how this works out. If you know that saying, you vote with your pocketbook, you go to certain kinds of stores or certain restaurants because you like them, or you don't go to them because something happened or you don't like them. Mm-hmm. Well, the same sort of thing could apply in a way. If you go to the convenience store, or you go to the soda shop or the liquor store, and you buy something, and you consume it right there on the spot before you get back on your bicycle or back in your car, but you have no place to throw away that glass bottle or that plastic bottle. Mm-hmm. The only way the store owner is going to know that this is important to you is if you tell them. That's the key to making recycling happen in any context, and recycling away from home is going to happen when we demand it.
Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, I want to give the number, which I don't think I did, in case you want to join in with your own questions or comments. It's 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. RA, which is Recycling Away From Home, that was about 8 years ago, and that's won the John Muir Wisconsin State Sierra Club Torchbearer Award. It's also been recognized as a special event recycling success story at the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin's conference.
Right,
I was
pleased to be able to do a small presentation recently here in Madison for the Isthmus newspaper's Green Day, which is one of these expo events to call people's attention to things that can, make simple solutions for greening up your life. And there's a lot to this, but then on the other hand, it's very simple. Larry may not mention what I've brought along here today, but I've created something called the 100% filtered Madison tap water label. And now this is completely, it's not a spur of the moment thing. I've done this before, but the notion is that a lot of us are out there buying tea in glass bottles on a day-to-day basis, or juice in glass bottles on a day-to-day basis. And then what do you do with the bottles? Well, you know, if you're paying attention, maybe you recycle them. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're like me and you save them up and you wash them out and you refill them with water. And that is increasingly what hundreds of people do, thousands probably. And so the next step would be to, you know, encourage everyone to do that, because there are all sorts of implications of the economy and all these other things that are changing in our world very rapidly. But I think that more innovation, more people saying, yeah, I can figure that out. Hey, this could be fun. This is really where the recycling programs that are being advocated by major organizations like the Sierra Club, of which I am a member, and also, you know, municipal recycling programs are all over the country, not only in Wisconsin, but everywhere in the sound of our voice, there's probably a municipal recycling program of some type.
Oh, sure.
And now it's up to people to say, okay, they're doing this. It's not enough. I can do more.
Tell you what, lots of callers online to visit with you. Fritz in Fish Creek is up first, so let's go to Fritz. Hi, Fritz.
Well, hi. I was wondering, the cottage cheese, yogurt, those containers are number 5, I believe. And why don't they recycle them? There must be a zillion of them out there.
That's a good question. Is it Fritz?
Yeah.
I appreciate your asking that. Recently here in Madison, we've been informed that dairy tubs are no longer recyclable, and they were probably one of the first things that everybody latched onto, because the yogurt and cottage cheese and all the other things that we buy of dairy products all are packaged in those things. And what my understanding is that, number one, those numbers on the bottom, Fritz, they're not really very meaningful in terms of giving you as a consumer a clear message of what plastic is recyclable. The number in the triangle on the bottom of plastic containers is a system that the plastics industry has developed to indicate a communication within the plastics industry of what the chemical composition is from plastic to plastic. And my understanding is that the waste industry, including municipalities, have attempted to educate people about which numbers are recyclable and which are not. But what's turning out with the dairy tubs is that there is no market for them. You know, we've been putting them in our recycling for years now, and the answer that we're getting back from the plastics industry is that the chemical composition that makes the tub hold together and, you know, be in that shape has some chemical composition which does not break down in the process of recycling so that it can be returned to a usable plastic. Now, I'm not a chemist. You know, this is my understanding as a consumer. And so, unfortunately, we're going to have to find more uses for them. So put more plants in them or something like that.
Yeah, and or try and buy other products, you know, although it's hard. Those number 5s are everywhere. And
this has to do with the markets. The thing about recycling, all recycling, is that the markets rule. We may think that, you know, we should be able to recycle something. Everyone has an opinion about what should be able to be recycled. But when you're starting at ground zero, say, you know, today you're on a level playing field and you're saying, okay, let's recycle this stuff. If the market out there for accepting this material, you know, after it gets dumped off at the sorting center, if nobody's taking it, then it's not being recycled, even though we think so. Now, we can help drive markets, you know, with the way that we buy things. But the dairy companies, you know, are, I'm sure, rethinking, you know, how are we going to deliver fresh dairy goods to your grocery store in a sanitary way without using a plastic tub? That's a good question.
Or reformulating the plastic so that it can be recycled. I assume, I'm sure that there are lots of people working on it. I would
Big
guess.
Big brains.
Yeah, some brains a lot bigger than mine. Fritz, thank you very much for calling. Lou in Milwaukee is up next. Lou, hello to you.
Hello. I would just like to compliment the people at the MREA grounds in Carter, Wisconsin.
Yes.
They make a conscious effort to recycle big time.
Yes, you're referring to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association.
Right.
And their energy fair is coming up shortly in a couple of weeks, is it not?
Yeah, it'll be not this week, but next week. And as a matter of fact, Jim Packard and I will be up there and broadcasting live on Friday, be a week from this coming Friday. We'll be at the Midwest Renewable Energy Association talking gardening and composting and all that sort of thing.
To my knowledge, the MREA is probably the leading public event as far as recycling away from home. And it's all about, you know, people who, and I say this in a friendly and complimentary way, people who have been geeks about energy issues and technology and how to adapt for recycling and reuse have been, you know, the members of the MREA for many, many years. However, probably the largest public event in the state in terms of tickets sold or people present that is a longstanding recycling plan is the Waukesha County Fair. And this was done because people in Waukesha County wanted to have recycling on their site there. They worked with the Be Smart organization of Milwaukee to help work out plans for themselves. And besmart.org, that's www.besmart.org, is a great resource for recycling information for events and organizations.
And I thank you very much for calling, Lou, and we'll get to Jeff and Dave and everybody else here in just a minute or two on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking recycling now, zeroing in a bit on event recycling and recycling away from home with our guest Paul Abramson of Madison, event recycling consultant. He works with both nonprofit and for-profit companies and organizations in Wisconsin. Pleased to have him back to talk with us about this this whole area, and certainly would invite your questions and comments as we move along. Maybe you've done something at an event or maybe you have an event coming up that you want to ask about, or maybe you've done something in the way of recycling at an event that might be a little different. We'd love to hear from you about that, too. Dave in Milwaukee is up first, though, and let's go to Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you today?
Pretty good. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dave.
You're welcome.
What can we do for you?
Well, I live in a large apartment complex. There's 450 units, and we don't do any recycling at all. And what occurred to me while I was listening to your program is actually they have 5,000 units within the metropolitan area. So I'm assuming that they don't recycle anywhere, and that's sad. I was wondering, what can I do?
Well, first of all, I am not an expert on how recycling can be initiated in all applications. But what I suggest at the basics would be to call the city of Milwaukee's recycling office. It's listed in your telephone directory. The city streets and public works department is the one that is the receiver, or the responsible unit, as the DNR refers to them, for, pushing along the programs that are in the city of Milwaukee. And how they advocate or regulate or enforce recycling for multi-unit dwellings is something that I am just not familiar with. But have you communicated this interest to the management? Have you told them that more than one person in this that rents from them wants this? I mean, asking for it is certainly a place to start.
Yeah, but yeah, that's good advice though about contacting Milwaukee, the recycling coordinator there, because I'm sure they would have something, some help for you, Dave. So give that a try, and thank you for calling. Jeff in Appleton is up next. Jeff, hi.
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 I've got some good news here for you. You're asking for an event. I've got an event for you that has to do a lot with recycling. It's called, it's an add-on to the farmer's market here in Appleton, Wisconsin, which happens during the summer every Saturday.
It's downtown,
and
right?
We're going to have three events that add a block to the farmer's market called the Get Green Market.
Cool.
And people who would like, we're still looking for exhibitors, and actually we'd like to have vendors who sell recycled products. which would be great. And if there's people available or someone would like to help on that program, you can find out all about it at www.getgreenmarket.com. And there's a lot of information there online. And we also have an email address, getgreenmarket@yahoo.com. I'd like to hear from anybody on that, any of their comments.
All right, sounds great. Getgreenmarket.com, a place to go to take a look at it. But, Paul, comment from you.
Well, Dave, I have a question for you. I met a number of people from Outagamie County when I was up at the Associated Recycling of Wisconsin conference back in the winter, and I was tipped that there was a lot of interest in activity. Is the, does the farmers market itself have an active recycling program?
Oh, sure they do. Yeah, they have their event probably attracts maybe 2,000 or 3,000 people on a Saturday, and it comprises the downtown College Avenue area, and then the exhibitors are on both sides. And then in the middle, they all the way down the avenue, they have a multitude of containers for the trash, and they are marked recycling and other. They're doing a very, very nice job of that.
That's really great news. The Dane County Farmers Market here in Madison, you know, the big one that they do around the Capitol Square, is right now facing the challenge of figuring out how to have recycling at their event. You know, it would seem like a no-brainer considering, yeah, you know, all that we know. However, there are, you know, some interferences as it relates to the regulations of the property where they do the fair. It's on state property. It's on the Capitol Square. And so there's a lot of communication that still needs to be developed in order to make it possible for them. And so for those of you that have farmers markets that are in simple places like parking lots and College Avenue in downtown Appleton, you know, you have a lot of control about how you can have your recycling. And, you know, there are some other places that are still, you know, catching up with that.
And thanks a lot. Getgreenmarket.com. That was that address.
Thanks for the tip.
Thanks, Jeff. Reed in Clintonville, I believe, is up next. Reed, hello to you.
Good afternoon, fellas. Say a couple of comments concerning the university system, and I can only speak to two campuses that I know particularly well. The first is UW-Stevens Point, which I think is an exemplary example of of a green campus and really aggressive recycling. My wife teaches there, and there are recycling containers for a variety of materials in every building, as far as I know. My undergraduate alma mater, when I was teaching there at UW Oshkosh, it took me a year to get three small recycling containers for the ceramics lab. But our son now works there in facilities management, and he told me the campus is almost 115 acres. They have 40-plus buildings. And he has been able to just now, get the first 23 recycling containers that will be placed in things like the new parking ramp and a couple of other places.
He's doing great work.
Pardon?
He's doing great work to be persistent about it.
Yes. Yeah, he has initiated the program, but, I hope that the rest of the universities around the state are beginning to see the need for and the benefits of recycling. And so perhaps you can speak more to that than
sure.
I can.
Sure. At least the UW-Madison campus, I don't think you can go into a building on the campus without finding recycling containers nearby.
I'll tell you what I know. And George Dreckman, who's the city of Madison's recycling coordinator, is really much more knowledgeable about this as far as what's happening at the UW-Madison. But Larry's right. As far as most of the facilities are concerned, recycling containers are everywhere. The biggest issue here has been regarding the athletic department's facilities of the Cole Sports Center and Camp Randall in particular. Mm. And as I understand it, there is activity afoot to make that better. So, the more pressure that's put on this market by the participants, that's you and me, the more likely the outcomes will occur the way we want them. And, you know, while you're out there traveling or going to sporting events or festivals or wherever you're going, just think about recycling away from home and encourage your vendors to, put bins out there for you.
Thanks, Reed. Joan in Baraboo, it's your turn. Hi, Joan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to publicly say thank you to our own locally based Culver's. They started with a trial recycling project in Sauk in their original restaurant, and I see it is now in Baraboo and in Portage. And because of that, we make a concerted effort to, when we're out and have to stop to get something to eat, we go there to eat because I appreciate what they're doing. And interestingly enough, talking to the counter help there, they say if they stand and watch for a while, men don't recycle and women do. The men don't separate the debris on their trays, where the women will take the time to separate the straws and the spoons and forks and knives and the plasticware and put it in the proper receptacle. And I guess my second comment would be, I've come to appreciate Walmart a little bit more because they have their wonderful bags that say paper or plastic and it says neither, that they sell for a dollar. They're a wonderful mesh bag. And while the clerks at first were struggling with how to pack bags because they're so trained to throw things in those plastic bags on those revolving contraptions, they now are more and more able to use the cloth bags, and people are using them, and I'm seeing them all over, everywhere from my quilt guild meetings, from ladies that would normally bring things in plastic bags, they're now in these black Walmart bags. So I guess I think it's having an impact.
Well, Joan, thank you for calling, and I'm sure you want to make comment, Paul.
Well, I think you're right. The more businesses that offer us alternatives to using additional plastics or additional paper resources by bringing our own bags, the more businesses that encourage to do that, the more likely that we will have the outcomes that we want. Reducing landfilling is the ultimate goal of all of this. Landfilling is causing as much climate change difficulty as any other one thing. A report that came out last week indicated that incinerators and landfilling are just as creating just as much destruction in the global warming area as any other factor. Reducing the amount of trash that is going to landfills is what this is all about. It's the right thing to do to keep our communities clean, and it's a kind of an effort that anybody can get involved with.
Thank you very much, Joan, for calling. Appreciate it. Paul in Monona is up next. Hi, Paul.
Hello. I didn't call to debate the lady who just made a positive comment about Walmart, but I would add to the Walmart situation, though, it's the amount of cheap things that people buy and then want the cheapest, easiest thing to get, and the consumption side of things that people really, I think, need to think about even beyond recycling, because so much stuff is made and then it maybe lasts a couple years and then you throw it away and get another one, rather than people wanting to buy a better product that can actually be repaired. And I think the thing with items or stuff that I'd learned participating in a Natural Step study group in Monona that's also involved with the Sustain Dane people is the idea of cutting consumption. I mean, it's just, where you had commented earlier about the yogurt containers and things like that, maybe if you're going to consume those sorts of products, that doesn't say you shouldn't continue to have yogurt if you like it, but maybe buy the bigger one and have a reusable container that you put that yogurt in every day. And I know you could probably debate it down to the, Nat's detail about, is it better to wash that container or just have something that you can throw away that's more easily recycled? And I think if you cut consumption, that's probably a good way to keep things out of the landfill in the first place and make products that are a little better that maybe aren't sold at the big department stores that maybe somebody stands behind and can repair and, you know, continue to use. Or like with some of the websites that allow you to recycle things by, you know, giving them to somebody else so they don't get thrown away.
Yeah.
I'm in complete agreement with you. You know, the thing that, we get hung up on is, you know, how can we continue buying all the things that we like to have and not worry about, you know, what's going to happen to them when they break? And, you know, my thinking along the natural – along the lines of the natural step, and I've taken a couple of natural step sessions myself, and Sustain Dean is helping educate all of us about, you know, new ways of thinking – is that, you know, it's not about making a new kind of mold for more plastic junk, you know. It's about taking the existing molds and making them into roofing tiles and, you know, and for garden sheds or something and not making more throwaway stuff. Mm-hmm. The idea is to, you know, find those things that you have that you can use again. It goes back to these glass bottles that I brought in for me and Larry. I mean, this is a glass tea bottle. I don't remember when I bought it. It's been hanging around my kitchen for probably a month. I wash it out. I fill it up with filtered water. That is, in my book, it's reducing the number of additional bottles that are out there in the universe. I'm not buying plastic water bottles. That's completely out. Mm-hmm. Only in an emergency will I buy a plastic water bottle. The Sierra Club has just issued an international notice that plastic water bottles are forbidden at all events that are sponsored by the Sierra Club. There's all sorts of chemical implications that we do not understand about the degradation of plastics, particularly in water bottles. This is a whole other discussion. But, you know, having to do with taking things that you already have and using them until they don't work anymore and then buying something else instead of just buying the newest, greenest, shiniest thing.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I thank you very much for calling. Kathy in Madison actually may have a suggestion for us on reusing something. Kathy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, well, we were talking about the not being able to recycle the dairy tubs anymore. And I know in the past I've taken some of those to local food pantries or local churches for them to use for packaging up food in smaller quantities and or after a funeral or something, if to send food home with the families or something like that. You'd have to check with your local church or your local food pantry to see if they accept that, but that might be an alternative for people to try.
Mm-hmm. Always a good idea.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. Good suggestion. Doris in Shawnee County, I think, is up next. Doris, hi.
Hi. My thought is, how can we persuade the plastic manufacturers to use more recyclable coated containers? And they never coat the lids. You don't know. So that goes in our trash.
Yeah, a couple of points there.
That's a good question. I would say that the best way to persuade the plastics industry of anything is to start with your grocery store. Where you buy your food, you know, is the source of these plastic containers. If you talk to the general manager about how disappointed you are that plastic cottage cheese containers can no longer be recycled and ask them a hard question like, you know, do they know that their customers are upset about this? And is there going to be a better way to package cottage cheese in the future so that we don't have to have all this extra plastic around? Or what do they think you should do? Contacting the manufacturers individually, going to their websites, writing them letters, telling them about how you are upset that all this extra plastic is junking up our environment, going to the landfill unnecessarily. This is the way that these products can change. We have to let the manufacturers know and in any way possible.
Thanks, Doris. Gail in Milwaukee, give you a shot now. Hi, Gail.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
Sure.
I just want to talk about recycling our water, our rainwater and stormwater. And as you know, in Milwaukee, this is, and all throughout the state, this has been quite an issue the last weekend or two. And tonight at Hart Park in Wauwatosa, UW Extension and Rain Gardens for Wauwatosa is putting on a joint partnership Rain Garden Fair, and it is going to be tonight from 6:30 to 9:30, and we will be talking about all types of stormwater opportunities to do something in your backyard with the water that falls on your backyard, so that you can talk about, we'll be learning about rain gardens and rain barrels, and we will have educational exhibitors. We will have rain garden supply exhibitors, Master Gardener. We have Sharon Morrissey from UW Extension. She's our horticulture, consumer horticulture agent here in Milwaukee County. She'll be talking about the mechanics of building your own rain garden. And Nan Calvert from the Root Pike Watershed Initiative Network will be discussing rain garden plants. But again, this is all about really thinking about reusing and recycling your water. And I think it's one of those resources that we just take for granted beyond belief. And anyway, I'm really excited. I am a basin educator out of the Milwaukee River Basin through UW Extension, and this is one of the types of events that we host.
Yeah, and just give us the location again. Yeah.
It's in Hart Park, downtown Wauwatosa. That's 7300 Chestnut Street.
Thank you very much.
And just so people, Hart Park is an area in Wauwatosa that has been known to flood in the past, but due to quite a few practices being implemented and projects that are trying to assist Wauwatosa in dealing with their stormwater, they were very proud to tell me that this is not called off and that they have been able to deal with their stormwater this past weekend. And even though, you know, they did get wet, they are definitely open for business, and we are so excited for tonight's event.
Thank you, Gail. Thanks very much for calling.
Hey, that's fabulous. There's a program here in Dane County of a rain barrel sale and distribution. It's run by Sustain Dane. It's an ongoing thing also. And also, of course, UW Extension has many, many resources about capturing groundwater and, you know, how to build a rain garden. All these things are, you know, they're all individual little parts of this big puzzle for saving the lakes and saving water and using clean water for, you know, cooking, and using gray water for watering plants. And the options are mind-boggling and just very exciting about the developments that, you know, we can innovate to make this world a better place and save it for ourselves in the future. You know, the recycling piece, which I'm so interested in, is just one part of it. But they're all, in my view, they're all energy issues, they're all ecology issues, they're all global warming issues.
And if you want to learn a little bit more about what's going on, what Paul's group is and his work, you can go online to Madison Rah, R-A-H, madisonrah.org. I just went on there, nice website, and with a lot of great information about recycling away from home. Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
We'll get you back. Paul Abramson of Madison Event Recycling Consultant works with both nonprofit and for-profit companies. Again, his website, MadisonRah, R-A-H, .org. Well, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Ken Adams of Adams Design and John Freiberger of Freiberger Associates of Madison about home renovation and repair. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.